Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you to Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben. We have, here in Greenville, Spartanburg, 75 degrees, downtown, 74 degrees, Anderson, 73 degrees, Clemson, 75 degrees. Today, partly cloudy, patchy fog this morning, scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, humid with highs in the lower 90s. Southwest winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain, 30%. So, there you go. Yesterday they said it was going to be 90 degrees. My car thermometer said it was 100 the whole day, but of course my friend here tells me that we never get to 100 degrees in South Carolina, so it couldn't be. It must have been wrong. Just that hot, muggy, sticky kind of feeling that you're baking inside of an oven with a damp rag is just isn't really there. Just think you're in California and you really get back there, at least weather-wise. Well, here's a quotation that was sent in by Chuck. He thought he'd mail it in and let us know. From Alexander Hamilton, says, "The instrument by which government must act are either the authority of the law or laws of, either the authority of the laws or force. If the first be destroyed, the last must be substituted, and where this becomes the ordinary instrument of government, there is an end to liberty." Guess which we have, Chuck asks. Well, I think it's pretty clear. Here's another quotation, or actually a comment sent in by Charles, who's been emailing the show regularly. He says, "During his surrender, Cornwallis revealed to Washington that a holy war will now begin on America, and when it is ended, America will supposedly be the citadel of freedom, but her millions will unknowingly be loyal subjects of the crown." He went on to explain what would seem to be a self-contradiction. "Your churches will be used to teach the Jews religion, and in less than 200 years, the whole nation will be working for divine world government. That government that they believe to be divine will be the British Empire. All religions will be permeated with Judaism, even without being noticed by the masses, and they will be under the invisible, all-seeing eye of a grand architect of Freemasonry." Jonathan Williams writing in Legions of Satan in 1781. Now, has that actually happened? Well, some people would say that it has, I suppose. Not being the historian that I should be, perhaps, I don't know for sure, but I would definitely like to know a little bit more about all of this and Cornwallis's prediction. Certainly, the United States has succumbed to the New World Order. We are now elected presidents that want to lead us astray, that carry us down the path against the sovereign United States, against having a constitution, and at least against having a constitution that means anything, or a Bill of Rights that means anything. It's all been subverted through the various mechanisms of the media, the public school, and the government indoctrination program carried out by George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, whoever it might be. Well, here's something else that we can use to remedy that. It's called the Institute on the Constitution. 5 consecutive Saturdays, August 6th, 13th, 20th, 27th, and September 3rd, 8:30 to noon, hosted by Bible Baptist Church, 2522 Gentry Memorial Highway, that's Highway 8 in Pickens, South Carolina. Contact Mark Dibbler at 421-2714, that's 864-421-2714. If you want to attend that meeting starting on August 6th and learn about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the rest of the amendments to the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the philosophy of America, the principles of the Founding Fathers, all these are features that you'll learn there at the Institute on the Constitution coming up. I also want to remind you of the events that are going on this week in the upstate of South Carolina, and that's just a couple, really, and they're both on the same night, and they're both at the same time, unfortunately. The Constitution Party, the South Carolina Constitution Party, invites you to a gathering of constitutionally minded people Thursday, July 21st, 7 p.m. at the Augusta Road Branch Library. That's located at 100 Lydia Street, Greenville, South Carolina. And eventually we're going to have this posted on the website as soon as we have can find Rip and Richie can find times to actually post some stuff to the website. We'll do so. The Constitution Party says, in the dark about cultural issues, about differences in political parties, about the Constitution of the United States, about NAFTA, CAFTA, and FTA, go ahead and go to the Constitution Party meeting. Now, also going on the same night at the Prime Sirloin, 6:30 p.m. starts there for dinner. 7 o'clock is the time where the meeting begins, goes till about 8:30, is the League of the South. The League of the South, a great organization promoting, often maligned as being a hate speech group or a hate group. It's not. It's just a pro-South group, an anti-federal establishment group, and therefore they're considered a hate group because they hate the policies and practices of George Bush, Bill Clinton, Al Gore, Hillary Clinton, anyone else that would be a part of the left liberal or neocon establishment. They're meeting there at the Prime Sirloin the same night. So take your pick. Go to the Constitution Party meeting or going to go to the League of the South meeting. No doubt you'll have a great opportunity, great night. And let's not forget the libertarians just for the moment, since we're talking about everybody else. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you don't have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month, and that is at the Augusta, or the Butler Road Library down in Malden. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's a cafe underground just off of Main Street downtown. We'd love to swap ideas with you before restoring a limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Our phone number here is 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. And we're glad that you're listening this morning. Looks like we have finally all our transmitters up and running, we hope. If not, we're going to make some calls during the program here just to make sure the technical staff realize that it looks like part of the upstate is out. They're not actually hearing the broadcast right now, and we'll make sure that the people who need to be called get called here and the break coming up. In fact, we're going to go ahead and go to a quick break right now, and when we come back, we may even play for you the Bill of Rights so we have a good long time to solve any technical problems there might be, and we'll be back in just several minutes.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live
from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Okay. welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. So glad we can have the opportunity on the airwaves of the United States of America still to play the Bill of Rights. How many folks are familiar with the Bill of Rights? I hope you're all somewhat familiar with them, and by repeating them here on this show and listening to them every day, I hope you can be able to commit at least the principles of each of the Ten Amendments to memory. They're good things to know about. That way you can help judge whether or not what government is doing and through its public policies are good or bad, wicked, nefarious. They range usually from the wicked to the nefarious. Rarely do ever become good, if ever, policies. They're always tainted by something when they go through the political process, these public policies, especially proactive ones. Just something to bear in mind. Well, here's some theory that's interesting. Soy homosexuality and sexual identity disorder, the debate. Are the effects of the use of soy in our food industry causing humans to have sexual problems, including sexual identity disorder, what is sexual identity disorder? Is that when you kind of forget that you're a boy or a girl kind of thing? Is that what that means? I don't know what sexual identity disorder is. I really need to bone up on some of these newfangled terms, I guess. Sexual dysfunctions, physical deformities to the human reproductive system. Testosterone levels continue to fall in men, yet young girls are going into puberty as young as 6 to 8 years old. Boys seem to be feminized while girls are being supersexed. Why is it that the governments and their agencies, corporate food producers and pharmaceutical companies ignoring the data? Is it the agenda? What agenda could it be? Is it all about money control or population control? Soy, the Poison Seed by William Wong, Doctor of Nutrition and PhD and member of World Sports Medicine Hall of Fame. This piece will be short and very much to the point, as Americans' largest cash crop, soy, is being touted as having a myriad of health benefits. Far from, soy is a poison, period. All paid for, opinion to the contrary. What's so bad about soy? It contains isoflavones, and genistein and diazine. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce those things, but whatever they are. In soy, the isoflavones are built-in insecticides. If they kill bugs, are they good for humans? Well, I suppose they could be. Never know for sure. Anyway, I'm not going to read all this technical stuff here because it's just too tough for me to do. But what do we think about soy? Does anybody have a comment? I mean, we got lots of soy in the food. Well, is it actually causing all these problems? Now, the Tyranny Response Unit knows nothing about biology, virtually nothing, and nothing about anatomy except for what I had to do when I was in school as an undergraduate. And, you know, if someone has a good opinion about this, I'm all ears. Especially if it makes good for good talk radio, we might want to discuss the whole issue of soy. Yeah, the only time I was one of those guys who went through the public school on the drugs and cruise program, you know, the surfboard in one arm and, you know, you go out with your friends and you party and all that kind of stuff. Before I was saved, when I was saved at 16, everything changed. Then I became a vandal. Instead of being high all the time, I decided, well, I'm going to do this for Jesus. And I threw away all my books and packed things full of rapture literature and talked about how Jesus was going to come next year. And we didn't need to do anything but go out and wait for the rapture and preach to people for the next year until he came. After all, that's what Pastor Chuck Smith told me. We wouldn't even be here at past 1981. Did you know that? Yeah, I sat there right there on New Year's Eve service, and Pastor Chuck said, this will be the last New Year's Eve service we have. Jesus will return next year because we've hit 33 years past the foundation point of when Israel became a nation once again in the land in 1981. That was just the year. So I just did like all other good folks do, empty out your school locker and fill it with books about the end times and the raptures, carry around my Bible, preach to people, vandalize the school with stickers saying that Jesus loves you and God bless you. There's a guy named Arthur Blessett. I don't know if you remember Arthur Blessett. He used to go down to Hollywood with a 6-foot-long wooden cross made of 6x6 beams, and he would just tote this thing around his shoulder and cruise into the various houses of prostitution or adult entertainment centers and preach to people. And then he'd go to different bars and movie theaters as well, anywhere he could, just walking up and down Hollywood with his cross and passing out stickers. Well, and stickers and tracts. Well, I'd used his stickers and just vandalized the whole school. I took it upon myself to become a vandal for Jesus. So that's what I was doing at that time. Just a digression. How did I get off on that subject? I don't know. Maybe it was soy. Something that the soy did to me in the younger years. Who knows? At any rate, the soy debate continues. If you have a comment about soy, give us a call, 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6945. 1-800-795-5755. There was something else I was going to mention that seemed somewhat interesting, but I'll do it later. I've just been reading a couple of different books. One is The Abuse of Power by Stephen Greenwood, and that's talking about the degenerative aspects of the United States government, especially the courts, in derogating property rights in the United States. Someone had lent me this book, and I'm working a little bit through it bit by bit. The other one I've just got, which actually piques my interest more because The Abuse of Power is now outdated by the Kelo decision, although it's still apropos in terms of the theory of what government is doing to abuse its power. I just picked up this book called The Libertarian Theology of Freedom by the Reverend Edmund A. Opitz. How do you pronounce that guy's name? Opitz? Yeah. Opitz. Well, at any rate, this is quite a book. I haven't read a whole lot of it yet. It's a short book. I think I'm on page 29 or so, and it's describing how liberalism and the social gospel got into the church and displaced the ideas of private property, freedom, and the need to continue to strive for, or the struggle for, liberty in our lives as Christians. He's an activist Christian. Obviously, from the looks of it, he looks like a guy coming from a liberty of conscience perspective, and yet I had not read a whole lot from Opitz before other than his introduction to Albert J. Knox's works. So this is something you may want to put on your reading list, folks, The Libertarian Theology of Freedom by the Reverend Edmund A. Opitz. Seems like a really good book to start thinking. And it's nice to know also that there are Christians out there, higher profile Christians. He's a Congregationalist, believe it or not, but strongly evangelical. It's hard to find one of those, isn't it? Aren't all the Congregationalists, aren't those people in New England that pretty much passed away from the scene, you know, a couple dozen decades ago or whatever it was? And the leftover up there is squalor, Unitarianism, and liberalism. Well, apparently not everywhere. Apparently there are still some pretty strong evangelicals in the Congregationalist Church here in America, and he's one of them. And he's also a staunch proponent of freedom. And that's what we're all about here at Christian Worldview. And we're glad you've joined us this morning. And we're going to be back in just a couple minutes after we take this quick break.
In June of 2002,
hello, this is Dr. John Macromedia
Tobin. Introduced
Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama,
1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And here's a message from Brad this morning, one of our important listeners. For you, for those of you staunch supporters of the Second Amendment who want to be as proactive as well-regulated militia, a modern-day patriot needs to consider the most important tool in a free society, the rifle. As most of you know by now, the Second Amendment has nothing to do with hunting or target shooting. Well, it might have something to do with those things. I mean, come on. Okay. Defense of freedom is maintained at the business end of a service rifle. What's the business end of a service rifle? Is that the end where the bullet comes out and I just want to make sure some of our listeners might not know, including me, what the business end of the service rifle is. As a modern patriot, you have two choices for firepower. I'm obviously kidding a little bit, okay, folks? I understand what I'm reading. Mostly. Assault rifle or battle rifle? Let's examine the options. Assault rifle, short to medium range, intermediate power cartridge, 7.62 by 39 Eastern Block, 30 caliber, or 5.56 by 223 Western Block. Assault rifles would include the AK-47 SKS and M16 AR-15 rifles. The advantages of these rifles would be weight, compactness, the ability to carry more ammo, and price. You can easily attain a battle-proven SKS and 1,000 rounds for under $300. The disadvantages of the aforementioned would be lack of long-range power, the long-range accuracy. Due to the advances in body armor, the assault rifle is becoming a less popular option. Battle rifle. This is another option for you. Long-range full-power cartridge, 7.62 by 51 or 308 caliber. Battle rifles include Freedom's Right Arm for the FN, F-A-L, pronounced FN, FAL, M14, the modern M1A, and the Heckler and Koch G3, HK-G3. The obvious advantage of these rifles would include long-range accuracy and power. The battle rifle has as much power at 300 yards as the M16 would have at the muzzle. The disadvantages to these marvels of modern liberty would include weight and ammunition cost. Gentlemen past their prime years in life may not want to opt for the battle rifle as they present a challenge to the aged body in the field. That would be me. I guess I'm not going to be able to use the battle rifle. I'm going on 43 years old and still struggling just to haul around my own weight. That's a tough one. Anyway, when worked as a team, the assault rifle and the battle rifle can prove to be wondrous tools in the struggle for freedom. For more information on which rifle would be best for you, feel free to contact me, says Brad, at the email address above. I won't give his email address over the air since he didn't suggest that he could be contacted, but do your own research and look up something perhaps from the South Carolina militia or elsewhere about the difference between battle rifles and assault rifles and which one you ought to use for your own defense of your own country and the struggle for freedom. Believe it or not, folks, it's going to come around again at some point. I mean, the empires don't last forever, and now we have an empire here that George Bush is leading. We no longer have a free country as envisioned by the founders, unfortunately. Things have changed. Well, here's another story. Breaking news. FDA today is to rule on the morning after pill by September. This is from a July 15th article. they were going to vote on Friday on the confirmation of Lester Crawford as commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration. The agency is still not ruled, however, on this pill. Opponents of making the pill more readily available argue that such access could lead some young teens to have sex, leaving them more vulnerable to sexual transmitted diseases. Supporters of making Plan B available over-the-counter said the drug would help women prevent unintended pregnancies and reduce their need for abortions, but to make a real difference, women need to be able to get it quickly. A Republican Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma has also withdrawn his hold on the Crawford nomination. Coburn had contested the nomination because FDA had not implemented a law directing it to develop medically accurate condom labels. Brother. The senator received assurances from the administration that his concerns would be addressed, an aide to the senator said. The two Democratic senators said they continued to have concerns about Crawford, saying that Crawford and the FDA showed a lack of leadership and independence on the issue of Plan B. We've been clear all along that our hold on this nomination is about one thing only, the FDA's failure to provide an answer on Plan B, two senators said. Leavitt's letter noting the September 1st commitment to want the Republican Senator Mike Enzi of Wyoming, chairman of the Senate Health, Education, and Labor and Pensions Committee. Leavitt said the decision on Plan B must be made according to the scientific evidence. Crawford is a veterinarian who has been acting or deputy FDA commissioner for the past 3 years. Why do we have veterinarians heading the FDA, providing chemical substances we imbibe for our bodies? Very strange. I guess we're just like a bunch of rats in the federal government cage or something. Wouldn't be surprised. There's nothing pull. These regulators, what they'll do with things when they get power. In answer to their question about the deterrent for sex among teenagers or teenage girls and avoiding venereal disease and all that, here's one solution. Well, we won't say it's a solution, but it's pretty close to a solution. How about this? Pull them out of the public school. Take them out of the public school. Where do you think they get this kind of trouble? Is it homeschoolers? Do you think if I go down to Bob Jones University, I'm going to find that there's a lot of cases of sexually transmitted diseases in teenage pregnancies? Now, I realize it could happen. There might be one there a year or one every 5 years. I don't know. But it's rare. Okay? It's the true exception and not the rule. And I don't know any homeschoolers that get pregnant. They may. Their homeschoolers have a rebellious heart. They're sinful just like anyone else. But the opportunity is not afforded to them when they're not in the public school environment. So why not just make it real easy? Pull them out of the public school. Instead of trying to dope them up or put a patch on something that's, going to be a festering sore, just pull them out and heal the thing. Makes sense to me. I know it's a simplistic solution, but hey, folks, we're trying to give you easy answers here when we can. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's the top of the hour and time to go to a break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Currently, Greenville-Spartanburg Airport, 77 degrees. Downtown Greenville, you're at 75 degrees. Anderson, 75 degrees. Clemson, 76 degrees. You know it, if it's 8 o'clock in the morning and it's that warm, it's going to be hot today again. Partly cloudy today, patchy fog this morning, scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Humid with highs in the lower 90s. We can read that lower 100s probably. I think it's going to get to 100 here. My car thermometer doesn't lie. It's at 101 the entire afternoon when I was driving around. Other people have told me it can't get that hot, but I think it will. I think my car's right. Anyway, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. The chance of rain is at 30% this afternoon, so you can be prepared for the heat wave to hit you again. What else do you expect for in July in South Carolina, right? Just the way things are. All right, well, what else have we got happening here in the news today? Here's the death regulators. This is on the M. Rudd website. The 2005 push for an unconstitutional federal expansion of the abortion industry. If the willful and deliberate slaughter of the unborn children by the federal government can teach us one thing, it's how far the carnal mind will go to avoid obeying the commandments of God. Apart from being a shocking example of genocidal thinking, the Unborn Child Pain Awareness Act of 2005 is also one of the best illustrations of how distorted reality can become when men separate themselves from a biblical worldview. Outdoing even the Nazis' more efficient and humane experimentation projects, the Unborn Child Pain Awareness Act sets forth a completely new set of definitions in how abortion providers, that is, the state's willing executioners, are to anesthetize children in the womb before killing them. Now, we have to say, I'm going to pause here, that it is nice. If we're going to murder somebody, at least they can do is put them to sleep first. I mean, why cause the people more pain? We have to agree that we're happy for that. We don't like to see people suffering in pain like they are. They should have done the same thing to Terri Schiavo when they wanted to murder her. All they needed to do is put her to sleep first. Why make her suffer for all those days and die of dehydration? It's just cruel. And so if we want to just kill people like rats and roaches or whatever else, let's anesthetize. We have to give them some credit for at least being that humane in their murderous thuggery. But it still directs our attention, as it should, to the fact that, guess what? This is still a human being killed. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a person being killed. It's murder to abort a child. And that's, of course, the point of this article. The Act, I'm reading on here, the Act specifically defines which children are to be killed. The Act gives pro-aborts a new term for children in the womb, pain-capable unborn child. A pain-capable unborn child. Good. I suppose all human beings are pain-capable, folks. That's just part of what comes with having a central nervous system, and I believe that develops rather early in the fetus. Unborn Pain Child Awareness Brochure is provided for in this act, and it's to be developed at taxpayer expense by the Department of Health and Human Services, one of our favorite departments. It's one of those departments that, if you become president, make sure you appoint me as cabinet minister of Health and Human Services. I'll make sure I work myself out of a job within one day or one week, 36 hours max, as long as I can. It takes me to get the military in there with the president's permission to move out the furniture into the jockey lot and start selling it off and start a big bonfire with all the other junk they have in there and fire everybody. That's how long it would take to close down this this Health and Human Services branch. Next to go would probably be, well, there's so many. Actually, Department of Education would have to go first, then this Health and Human Services. Then we'd probably go to Department of Energy or Transportation and shut those babies down. And then the list would actually wouldn't stop for about, you know, 10, 12 these department cabinet level departments. But I'd be the one. Just appoint me in there, folks. I'll take care of it as long as I can before they assassinate me, which I'm sure would happen rather quickly. But I'd be willing to do it. What else was my life worth, at any rate? If I can help get some liberty for some folks by shutting down all those places, I'd be happy to do it. And I'm sure some of you listening would be happy to do the same thing. At any rate, at taxpayers' expense, this brochure is going to be produced. Under these guidelines, the abortion providers are to offer every mother of a pain-capable unborn child a brochure before the killing begins. The act also provides mothers with a waiver called the Unborn Child Pain Awareness Decision Form, where she can request to refuse the administration of pain-reducing drugs to the unborn child before the killing starts. Oh, that's nice. Churches should rise up and rebuke the evildoers. Amen! Preach it. Yes, but will churches be willing to do it? No, because they're on a fixed salary and they're going to be held accountable by the deacons, and they're just not going to do it because it might cause some controversy and it might put them in the limelight. No, they're not going to be strong enough to stand up against this stuff. Well, actually, preachers do better on abortion issues than they do on other things, but I shouldn't give them such a hard time on every issue. But I do think preachers are responsible for falling down so hard on some of these issues, and the reason we have the rotten situation we've got in America is largely in part of the failure of preachers to not only know the will of God and the Word of God when it comes to public policy theology, but also to preach it. Are U.S. lawmakers aware of the fact that if this federal legislation becomes law, it would make them accountable for the murder of every child killed under these federal regulations? Well, maybe so, but you know what? They're accountable right now. When they have the power to stop this and they don't do it, I count that accountable. George Bush can use an executive decree right now, use the military if necessary, and go and shut down every abortion clinic in America. He can do it right now, today, without any delay, and he doesn't do it. As far as I'm concerned, he's culpable. He's complicit in all that goes on. And any congressman who doesn't vociferously try to use his power as he has as a congressman to stop it is equally complicit. But the simple truth is that an unborn child pain awareness act makes the lawmakers death regulators. Yes, death regulators. Every Christian pro-lifer across the nation should raise their voice in outrage over the lies that suggest such heinous legislation is called pro-life. The Unborn Child Pain Awareness Act of 2005. Yes. Jim Rudd, the editor of the Covenant News. And I'm glad that they're going to anesthetize them. I don't want them to feel pain when they're being murdered. But that doesn't change the fact that these people are being murdered in the womb. Sad. Horrible thing. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Next segment coming up in just a minute. We're going to jump to a break and we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. The Times Examiner is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists, and you can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville. Full year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state, $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. Well, here's an article just sent to me by one of the production staff from WorldNet Daily. McCain on sexy film. I work with boobs every day. That's all the congressman, I suppose, he works with. Republican senator defends role in breast-laden wedding crashers. This is posted July 18, 2005. We were just talking in the studio here how Republicans can get away with anything and still be considered godly. George Bush can manhandle or whatever he does, horses, and Laura Bush and her cronies there or friends at the White House can go to the Chippendales Club. It doesn't matter. Those people are exonerated from whatever they do because they're Republicans. The religious right gives them a pass, which is a shame. It's a scam. It's a sham. What is really worse, being involved with Bill Clinton, like Bill Clinton was with his girls, or George Bush being involved with animals, if it really is the case? Now, maybe it's not the case, but she sure made comments, and they all thought it was mighty funny at that press club meeting not too long ago. Well, here John McCain is talking about his participation with this sexy film. Senator John McCain, a Republican from Arizona, is defending his cameo appearance in Wedding Crashers, the sexy comedy of the Drudge Report called a boob raunch fest. Get my page back. In Washington, I work with boobs every day, joked McCain during appearance on NBC's Tonight Show with Jay Leno. McCain was responding to Leno, who noted Matt Drudge ran a headline last week screaming that the Republican was starring in a boob raunch fest. No offense to ranchers there. I think that pushes the limits of his imagination, says McCain in the headline. Drudge had reported that McCain, who once held hearings chastising Hollywood studios for producing R-rated films and marketing them to teens, now is playing a part in one. In one scene of the film, veteran actress Jane Seymour goes topless in an attempt to seduce Owen Wilson, who plays a divorce attorney trying to pick up women at weddings, to which he has not been invited. Leno continued to ask McCain about the controversy, saying, "Suddenly, you're in a porno movie." In Washington, D.C., there's a lot of qualities, responded McCain. A sense of humor is not one of them. In addition to the film, McCain discussed several more serious items of the news, including possible replacements for Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who recently announced her retirement. "I think Fred Thompson would be my candidate," McCain said, referring to the former Tennessee senator who has been chosen by President Bush to help sift through the candidates. "If I had his voice, I'd be president of the United States." McCain also implied Bush might indeed select Thompson in the same way the vice president was picked as a running mate in 2000. "Wasn't Dick Cheney chosen to find a vice presidential candidate?" asked McCain. Regarding the presidential race in 2008, McCain said he'll wait until after. 2006 before he'd announce his any potential bid for himself. At any rate, I had a recent experience I was just recounting too. This has never happened to me before in my life, and probably never again. I was sitting in line to drop off some paperwork the other day in an office here in town, and it was very strange. There was a human being ahead of me that looked very, very masculine and manly to me. In fact, hairy and round and like any other, you know, southern male, you know, pretty good size, and was really being very loud and nasty and spiteful towards the person at the office who was working at this office. And I was sitting there patiently, waiting in my turn to hand in my forms. And turns out, this human being turned around and began to scorn me and told me to get out of the room, basically, and a few things like that. And I apologized. I said, "Excuse me, sir, I didn't mean to offend you. Where would you like me to go?" And her response roundabout was, "Excuse me, I am a small-breasted female, not a male, and I'm not a sir." I would not have known that, by the way, to look at the woman, but I apologize profusely, not intending in any way to cause offense, but just reflecting, I said, I've never had an opportunity in life for anyone that a woman has ever told me that she's a small-breasted female. It's kind of strange. At any rate, just this reminds me, this whole business here, this McCain thing, I don't know. I guess it's just two similar topics and themes here that have gone on recently. Republicans get away with anything they want is the bottom line of all this. Can you imagine what would happen? The outcry if it were Bill Clinton doing this, or John Kerry, Al Gore, Ted Kennedy. It doesn't really matter which Democrat you pick. The Christian right would be up in arms. But if the Republicans do it, it's sanctified and somehow okay. Really rather bizarre, don't you think? Anyway, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Trying to get back on our break schedule here. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen, and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Glad you've joined us this morning and hope we're helping you think a little bit deeper. Actually, a lot of light stuff today in some sense, but hey, we've been talking about some pretty important topics, including arming yourselves to use your Second Amendment rights, abortion, and their latest painkiller effects for the fetus so they can put them to death more humanely. Things that are pretty serious stuff. Well, we also had some interesting conversations recently on email with Christian Exodus leader Corey Burnell and a number of others who like to listen in, and discussing some very important topics regarding proactive policy versus reactive policy and actually the role of the state. And I think, and of course I have the advantage here of having the microphone. Corey, of course, could call in, but it's seeing it's only about 5:30 in the morning in California, he probably is going to be listening to the recorded show and have to suffer sending in some emails on occasion, perhaps, to respond. But I believe Corey is has some inconsistencies in his perspective on what the state should actually do. Really, as far as I'm concerned, as a principled, active Christian, you have a couple of routes that you can go to be consistent in your worldview perspective on how the state should be treated in its public policies, what the nature of the state is, and what its public policies ought to be. And we talked about this many times on the show, but it comes up time and again, and we need to continue to discuss it here, and that's why I'm going to do it now once again, because people need to be informed. They need to be less ignorant on this issue. There are two ways that you can look at the state. Either the state is an arm of the kingdom of God to some extent. That doesn't mean it actually preaches the gospel necessarily, but in one way or another, it helps the kingdom of God expand by restraining wickedness, by promoting goodness, the idealized form of Romans 13, according to a Christian Reconstructionist perspective, would be a good example of this. Or you're going to believe that the state is intrinsically evil, something opposed to God's ways, His kingdom, and a kingdom that competes against God's kingdom, and something that needs to be shunned as far as promoting moral standards in society, because it can't. It's just, being inherently evil, how can you expect good fresh water to come out of a salty spring? Once you try to straddle the line and make some intermediate stage, you really run afoul of both logic and the scriptures. Because if we take, as a good theonomist would, or a Christian Reconstructionist person would, the Bible in Romans chapter 13 and so forth to be referring to the ideal state of what a government should look like, punishing evildoers, rewarding those who do good, then we can use the state to move forward, or move forward ourselves into creating a state which will achieve those goals at some point in history. And there, a lot of those goals would be proactive. And then what do you decide? What should a state actually enforce if the state is going to be upholding righteousness in the world? Well, God's law, as far as the law was given to Israel and law under Christ, is a unified whole. You can't really break it into pieces. You can't say, well, I think we like just the Exodus 20 portion, but the rest of the Old Testament, we can just pitch that. We don't want to, that's kind of antiquated, anachronistic sort of stuff, so let's just go ahead with Exodus 20. And then some people say, well, that's a little bit too tough, too, because Exodus 20, it's really a summary of the whole rest of the Pentateuch. Anyway, let's not quite go that far. I mean, after all, we don't want to force people to have a certain religion, so for Commandments 1 and 2, we need to throw those out for today. Taking the Lord's name in vain, well, we don't want to have cops who put people in jail for that, so let's pitch that one too. And Sabbath, who wants to force people to obey the fourth commandment? It's like, so they'll like pitch out certain things, and they'll get down to a few things that they really don't like. And this is what Corey's done. He's kind of honed everything down to decide that the seventh commandment, the sixth commandment, and the sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth commandments are the ones that should be enforced. Why? Well, he says that democratic processes basically decide which should be enforced, and he wants to put his pitch in that his favorite four should be up there. But it doesn't make any sense, logically, theoretically, reasonably, rationally, as a Christian, if we accept the state as this vicar of Christ in the world, so to speak, to promote the kingdom of God or righteousness or punish evildoers, reward those who do good, that we would just pick and choose. There's a slippery slope problem here, and there's a problem of arbitrariness and capriciousness when we just pick and choose which of God's laws we think are important and which ones are not. Obviously, God thought all of the Ten Commandments were important. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there. I mean, he had equal weight. In fact, the death penalty is applied to Commandments 1, 2, 4, let me get this right, 5, incorrigible children, as well as 6, murder, 7, adultery. I think that's all of them. There was a death penalty applied for all of those, so obviously he thought it was pretty serious stuff. Who's Corey or anybody else to just pitch out certain commandments and say that they don't need to be obeyed? You see, the problem here is that if you're going to go the route of the state enforcing righteousness and morality from God's point of view, you really have to go to the Bible and decide and see for yourself what is moral, what is right. If it's in the Scriptures, you know that it is. You can't judge from outside philosophies or other things whether or not they're right or wrong, because you don't have the unchanging and errant Word of God to guide you. But why shouldn't you use the entire Word of God and His law to say this is the standard? This is, isn't that Greg Bonson's book, By This Standard? What standard are you going to use? Or Gary North and his political polytheism? I mean, where are you going to turn to find the answers for what's moral, what's true, what's right, and stuff for society if it's not God's law entirely? And don't just pick and choose the pieces that you like. Now they, you know, they're going to say, the theonomists aren't so crass and rigid. They're not going to say, well, we have to have the exact identical law without any modern application, like the parapet around the house or mixing of, you know, linens or different kinds of materials in your shirt and things like that. There may be modern variations that apply the same principle, but they're going to be consistent and try to uphold all the principles of God's word that are revealed in His law. They might also have modifications on, you know, when the death penalty would be applied to incorrigible children. I believe Greg Bonson said, you know, the first offense is just a warning, and only after the second really egregious offense and no repentance do you actually apply it. But why would the Christians believe they're better than God or can stand above the Bible and just pick and choose sins that they don't like homosexuality, and punish those things but not punish others? This, I think, is the problem that Corey and others get into when they try to pick and choose from God's word what they're going to apply and what's not. Now, when we come back from the break, I'm going to give you the alternative view. I've tried to be objective here. I don't believe anything I've just said to you. I'm not a theonomist, but I'm trying to be fair, objective, honest, and present to you what one legitimate, consistent position would be. And I respect that position, by the way, for its logical consistency through and through. And people who are theonomists are good folks, striving to be consistent, logical, reasonable, and so forth. Other people, I think, want to be the same thing, but they find themselves in this really crummy situation of being arbitrary and capricious and really not having much of a theoretical or biblical leg to stand on. Anyway, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. When we come back, we'll discuss some more of this very important topic.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Greenville, Spartanburg Airport, 77 degrees. Downtown Greenville, 75. Anderson, 75. And Clemson, 76. Today, partly cloudy, patchy fog this morning. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, humid with highs in the lower 90s. And southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, chance of rain 30%. So be prepared as you're making your way out to work for hot weather today. Well, you know, we've been talking about this very important topic on Christian Worldview Show, how we understand the Bible in terms of its teaching about the role of the state, the nature of the state. And if we say, and I think we should say as Christians, that God is the one who decides what's sin and what's not. I mean, after all, who decides that homosexuality is a sin, for instance? Is it a democratic process? Is it our own personal preferences or revulsions? No, it's God which decides that homosexuality is a sin. And God is the one who defines right and wrong for us. Where does he do that? He does that in his word. If God decides that it's only just that a person who robs someone else or defrauds someone else should pay back what he defrauded the person plus 20%, then who am I to say that it ought to be 30% or 10% or no percent? It's God's word, folks. He's the one who defines what's good and what's evil, what's sin and what's just and righteous behavior. Can any Christian really question that? I mean, who of us wants to stand in God's place and to say, no, this isn't so bad, it's not evil? Well, here's the issue. I mean, maybe this is just facetious talk here. Let's suppose we have a passage like Romans 13. We'll read that in just a second again. And the word evil is used in there. And we assume that this word evil refers to what God thinks is evil. And we assume that government, therefore, the state, has a role in punishing those who do evil and who practice evil. And God, if this is what the state does, then why or how could it be anything less than what God says is evil entirely? It has to be everything that God says is evil. unless you can somehow say that there are particular rules that were given to Israel that no longer apply any longer, unless you can say that, well, you're going to have a hard time saying that the state has no business in punishing people who practice that. And here's where it really gets tough for you. Jesus did indeed say that not a jot or tittle will pass from this law until heaven and earth pass away. But some dispensationalists will say, look, hey, if it's not repeated in the New Testament, I don't have to do it. That's my out. I don't have to obey all these Old Testament rules or laws or anything else because, hey, that's all done. Only things that are repeated. Well, did you know that all nine of the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament? The only one that's not is the Sabbath commandment, the fourth commandment, directly by the mouth of Christ or what Paul says. Now, other people don't agree. They find in Hebrews 4 and elsewhere that the Sabbath commandment's also repeated, but it's pretty clear that at least nine of them are. So what do you do then if God still defines evil as nine of the Ten Commandments? Someone like Corey or anyone else who might be struggling with this, and you believe the state should be there to enforce policies against evil, how can you escape not enforcing all nine? To me, this is very, very problematic for those who would try to say otherwise. I want to read Romans 13, 1 through 4. I like doing this because it so vividly makes a case that thinking Christians should see rather quickly. I want to read Romans 13, the way that first century Christians would have heard it being read to them. Living in Rome, the seat of power of the Roman Empire, how would they have heard this? And I'm going to replace the words governing authorities and rulers with a ruler of the day, who was Nero, the guy that murdered his own mother, burned down the city, impaled Christians, and lit up his gardens with them at night. I'm going to go ahead and replace the word rulers and governing authorities with his name. In fact, I'm also going to use Herod, because there's another character of the day. We know a bit about him, you know, the one that slaughtered off the children in Bethlehem. I could put Agrippa in there, or Felix, or others. But we know Herod, and we know Nero pretty well, so I'm just going to use those two names. Every time that the word governing authorities appears in the scriptures here in the first four verses, I'm going to replace those two rulers' names in there, because that's what they would be thinking, that those kinds of people would be the governing authorities of the day, or the rulers. Also, the pronoun, when I see it, I'll replace it there. It says as follows. Let's read this and think about it. Let every soul be subject to Herod and Nero, for there is no authority except from God, and Nero and Herod are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists Nero and Herod resist the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For Nero and Herod are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of Nero and Herod? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For Nero and Herod are God's ministers to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For Nero and Herod do not bear the sword in vain. Nero and Herod are God's ministers, avengers to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Do you notice a problem there? If we're going to be literalistic about this, was the Apostle Paul insane? Were Nero and Herod upholding the law of God? Not all nine commandments or the whole Old Testament law, but even one. They were murderers, they were blasphemers, they were idolaters, they were incorrigible, they were adulterers, they were covetous for power, if nothing else. You remember one of the Herods in Acts chapter 6 didn't give glory to God, and God struck him with worms, so he was eaten by worms and died. These men were not godly men. So what's the story here, Paul? Do we really believe that Nero, who hates God's law, hates righteousness, is actually going to uphold righteousness? Is that what Paul was saying? Well, some people apparently have this naive conception of this is what the state is. Now, here's two possible ways that you can avoid this rather crass interpretation. One is, and they're both very consistent means of doing this, and I'm going to mention them. I have before in the air, and I hope that some of you are getting familiar with this. The theonomic perspective, which we talked about before the break, will look at this passage and say, here, hang on a second, Paul's not insane. what Paul is giving us here. He's jumping out of this practical section of Romans in chapter 12, and he's just letting them know, theoretically or in the abstract, what good government should be like. In other words, an idealist or even a post-millennial realization of what government will be like someday. It's not that way now, but this is what it should be. Government should be up there, the state should be up there to punish people that break God's law and reward people like Christians that are doing good things. It's not talking about the Nero or Herod, it's talking about abstraction. That's one way you could handle this, and this is from, I got that from Greg Bonson, chapter, I believe it was 19 or 18 of his book's name slips my name all of a sudden. Anyway, one of his, Theonomy and Christian Ethics, sorry. At any rate, that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it, which I espouse, is that the words good and evil here are not used to refer to what God says are good and evil, but to what Nero and Herod and others think are good and evil. So when it says for Nero and Herod are not a terror to good works, but to evil, it means that they are a terror to things that they think are evil, and that's why they attack Christians. Do you want to be unafraid of Nero and Herod? Do what is good. That is, do what they think is good. Do what they think is right. Blaspheme, be an idolater, you know, be an adulterer, and then you will have praise from the same. That's another way you can look at the passage, and there's some Greek reasons in the Greek, especially the word evil, how there's a switch from the middle of chapter 12 when the word poneros is used, which means utter wickedness, to a more benign term, which could be even mean misdeeds. The word kakon is used at the end of chapter 12 and in Romans 13 here. So I think there's some indication from the Greek as well that supports this particular thesis. But either way, neither group, whether it be a Christian Reconstructionist or the Liberty of Conscience school, would go and review and say that this is referring to what actually transpired in a very literalistic sense in Rome. Other people don't see it that way. They have a different perspective on the whole matter. They actually believe that somehow Nero was upholding the law of God, or Herod and these people. It's rather bizarre, frankly, when you look at it on its face, but that's what you hear most preachers at least say today that I've heard. They actually believe that to be the case. It's a rather naive perspective. Well then, coming back to this whole issue, you either have to take a position that the theonomist does, that you enforce all of God's law. If this is truly an idealized state, rulers not being a terror to good works but to evil, that evil has to be defined by what God says in that sense. And God says all those commandments apply, all of them. You can't just pick and choose, because what God decides is evil, and you don't have as right as a man, to a mere mortal, to decide something that God says is not important, or to include something else in the list that he has not included, like speeding, for instance, or not stopping at a stop sign completely before the limit line so I can read the tread on your tires, or the letters on your tires. The other way to view this, and it's perfectly consistent, is to say that the state is an evil institution, and that these things that Paul talks about here are practical edification. He's telling us, look, you got to be careful. If you do something that the state thinks is bad, they're going to punish you. If you're a Christian, beware. They're going to attack you. If you do something good, sure, they'll reward you. You'll be doing what they like. You'll be an adulterer, a blasphemer, or whatever. But beware, and try to avoid conflict with this entity, this evil entity. And if that's the case, and you're looking at it in that sense, the last thing you want to give the state as an evil, wayward institution is the ability to have proactive policy over the moral behavior of society. Because if it's intrinsically evil, there's no way that you're going to get anything good out of it. Those are the two ways I think that you can go if you're a consistent, logically reasonable, well-reasoned Christian. Doing what Corey does in picking out incest and homosexuality as things that states must punish because people vote for it is going the completely the wrong way. It's arbitrary, it's capricious, and what right do we have to stand in the place of God and simply say, I like these two laws of yours, Lord, and I want the state to punish people that hold that practice these things, but I don't want you to be punishing, we don't want the state to punish any people for any other violations of your law. Very inconsistent. I noticed we skipped a break, but we're not going to skip this one. We're going to come back. Maybe we'll have some time for phone calls or more discussion about some of these topics or news stories. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. You know, this whole discussion about public policy theology is just crucial for the Christian life. Some people have criticized it, saying, well, why bother? We can just preach the gospel and not worry about this stuff. Well, the Word of God is not something where we can just pick and choose the parts that are important to us and you know, get rid of the other things. The Word of God talks about public policy. It talks a lot about how Christians should relate to the state and others in civil society. It also talks about property rights. It talks about the limitations that are placed upon people according to rules against theft or idleness and so forth. And we need to be aware of these things. We need to teach these things and to talk about them. We shouldn't be afraid of them. The Word of God has principles, at the very least, if not outright commands, which help guide our lives and understanding how we should handle things in politics or public policy, as well as things like creation science and other issues as well. This whole business about the public policies the state would undertake is of crucial importance to Christians, because proactive policies, that is, policies that are aimed at changing people's behavior or aimed at stealing from people and redistributing wealth, are an effrontery to God's Word. God's Word does not in any way permit, as far as I can tell, the state to be right in stealing money under the color of law or the guise of legality from one group and giving it to another. Proactive policies of redistribution are sinful. They're also sinful to the recipient, because the recipient indirectly is using his thug, the state, to steal, and because he's being indolent himself. The Bible tells a person who's on welfare, for instance, that he's in sin, because God does not allow us to sit idly by and collect from a robbery, essentially, and so we don't have to work. Now, if we rely on charity because we're disabled, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me. The church is providing private charity or whatnot, but we can't have forced redistribution and be just before God. The other side of this is the state should not be responsible for and should not use philosophies of this age or the modern world to change people's behavior, either because people are too stupid to know what's good for themselves, like a seatbelt law, or to force them to be more politically correct because they just have some opiates or foolishness in their own upbringing that has led them astray, such as our understanding of how to treat sodomites and we should be more understanding and accepting of them. These kinds of behavior modification schemes, either side of them, are evil and they're wicked, and proactive policy is an abomination to the Christian. The state having proactive power is troubling in and of itself. Because if we believe the state is evil and intrinsically, then the last person or last institution or entity we want to have proactive power is the state. Because although it sounds good that we might be able to install some of our favorite rules from the Old Testament, or all of them even, the fact is that the state will not comply because its nature, it's disagreeable to its nature. Now, I realize on the other side, if the state is actually viewed at as an entity that can be transformed by the dominion mandate, made into a godly institution as people become regenerate in society and we move into, that, again, that period of the golden age, then the viewpoint would be different. But I don't know of any Christian Reconstructionist who would hold that argument, by the way, any Christian Reconstructionist today who would say that our state, as it stands, with George W. Bush and the evil Congress who are now trying to kill fetuses and human beings in the womb by at least more humanely by giving some painkillers. I don't know how we can possibly, I don't know any of them who would possibly say that the state today should have proactive power, because they don't want an evil state to have a proactive role. They're looking for a godly institution down the road to actually do uphold God's kingdom in the world. Anytime we give the state proactive power, we run into trouble as Christians. In the past, in history, 99.9% of all states have harmed the church. They have not done good for us. Well, I'm throwing out a percentage there. Just maybe it's an exaggeration. Maybe it's hyperbolic speech. But the point is, it's very rare to find a state which actually does anything beneficial to help the church in general. Now, we have made a distinction between governments and the state, of course, and the limited government of Jefferson and Adams and Madison and so forth is far cry from the state. Remember, if you read the preamble of the Constitution, it's pretty clear that they set up a government to do very few things, basically to promote the conduct of civil society, protect us from predators, the common defense would be initiated and sustained. That was the reason you had a federal government. It was not so the federal government could be your big brother or be Robin Hood and go ahead and take on these roles to actually transform the society proactively. Well, Corey thinks that Corey Burnell we've been talking about from Christian Exodus' letter, he thinks that there's some kind of reactionary idea involved with prohibiting certain kinds of behaviors. It's not the case. Anytime government gets involved with prohibiting any behavior, it's acting in a proactive sense. If we're going to take a theonomic position, we're going to say that a regenerate state that's been transformed will take a proactive role, but it'll always be proactive in a sense of godliness and upholding God's word, not proactive in just doing certain things that we like here and there, or hoping that through a democratic vote we'll achieve the right kinds of proactive policies. I don't think that the state can possibly do anything good, because I think it's by nature evil, so I think it's a waste of time, but nevertheless, I think you have now the two different perspectives that you can take and be consistent. If you have the other perspective, which Corey was trying to espouse, I think you end up being entirely inconsistent and have all sorts of degenerative problems in the system that you're espousing in and of itself. Well, that's enough said for that for the day. In fact, we're coming close to the show end here. Maybe I'll just try to get a couple quick stories in here if we can, and we'll do our best here. One was the United Nations running the Internet. Will United Nations run the Internet? At issue is who decides key questions like adding new top-level domains, assigning chunks of numeric Internet addresses, and operating root servers that keep the net humming. Other suggested responsibilities for the new organization include Internet surveillance, consumer protection, and perhaps even the power to tax domain names to pay for universal access. This development represents a grave political challenge for the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, ICANN, which was birthed in the U.S. by government to handle some of those topics. A recent closed-door meeting in Geneva convened by the U.N.'s Working Group on Internet and Governance offers clues about the plot to dethrone ICANN. These excerpts from a transcript show dissatisfaction and general purpose gripping is rampant. They talk about different countries and different things that they're doing, Russia and China, and in Ghana, different places, Brazil. Those proclamations served to flesh out the Bush administration, which recently announced that it will not hand over control of the Internet domain names and addresses to anyone else, at least not yet. We'll see what happens with that. Well, it's a scary thought, the UN trying to run anything and everything in our lives. It's a horrible thing that the government tends to do. Well, that's a good way to close the show for the day. We're glad you've joined us to Christian Worldview. We look forward to another exciting edition of Christian Worldview tomorrow, right here at same place, same time. Until then, wish you God's blessings.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.